Heavenly Father, as we prepare our heart to hear from you, we acknowledge that you are too good to us. In a world where there isn't so much evil, you are constant and you are always good to us. In a world where the love is thrown away, this God so easily, and the word has very little meaning, if not altogether none. But your love endures. It strives. It holds forever. Your love is unfailing, Father. Its maximum and climactic display of your love is shown on the cross. There's nothing we can do to separate ourselves from your love, Father. So we thank you, we praise you, and we worship you. Father, we are asking you, dear Holy Spirit, to anoint us, our heart and our ears, so that those who have ears may hear your word, and anoint the one who speaks, that he may not speak his own word, but your word only. Father, we pray for the President Trump. Father, we pray that your will be done in him. He may know your heart through your word. And the leaders in this country, Father, many of them are against you, but your will prevail. Father, we pray for our troops around the world, especially the one in the harm's way, in Afghanistan, Africa, Iraq, wherever they are. Comfort them, protect them, and you're willing, you bring them back to their families and friends safe and sound. We also pray for the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. We're asking you to protect them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 95. Verse 1. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, and for he made it. And his hand formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion, as in the day of trials in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me through, they saw my works. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Stop there. The yearly Feast of the Tabernacle was a joyful event as the ancient Jewish people looked back on their ancestors' 40-year wilderness wandering, and look around for the bountiful harvest they get from God, and look up to give thanks to the Lord. Many biblical scholars believe that this psalm was written for the Feast of the Tabernacle, from the exile returned to Judah from Babylon. This psalm can be divided into two sections. As you read, you noticed, first section is verse 1 through 7. Actually, I wrote 7 and a half. And from 7... the other half of the 7 to the verse 11 reminding them, the listener, that true worship requires obedience to the Lord. Did you get that? You cannot just sing to the Lord while you do your own things. If you are going to worship the Lord, you need to do what this Bible says. This psalmist tells us how we need to praise our God and why we should praise Him. Please note that this is a praise by His people as a congregation, not individual here. Listen, our praise of our Lord must be joyful and enthusiastic from our heart. Not from your lips, from heart. So when you sing, "Lord, I praise you," it should come from your heart. Including verse 1, go back to verse 1. It says, "Joyfully to the rock of our shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." You know, I have a problem with the people who don't sing during the congregational worship. Some of you are adamant that you have to keep your cool. I don't know if that's a cool. You cross your arms, you sit there, or you cross arm or sit there and without moving your lips. Maybe you're a ventriloquist. Maybe you can make a noise without moving your lips. Maybe I missed that whole thing. But somehow they choose not to sing. I don't care what your formal denomination is. You can be from Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterians. I know they don't want to sing. As a matter of fact, some denomination, some hardcore Baptist church don't even have instruments. They just sing a cappella. One family came to our church and he hung around with us because we only had one worship leader and just guitar. And the worship team grew and keyboard added. He put up with us. And soon as we added on the drummer, he was done, out of here. And I thought, dude, you got to read the Bible, Psalm. Symbols, clanging cymbals. What do you think that is? Part of the drum set. Horns, lyres, which is like a guitar. Let me ask you, if you're one of them who choose to sit there not being a part of the singing your heart to the Lord, let me ask you this question. Why not? Why not? Has God done enough for you? Didn't He save your wretched soul that bound to hell? Didn't He provide you things that you need and care for you? And instead of living in mark and mire of a spiritual condition, you have a joy in your heart? Shouldn't you sing your heart to the Lord and thanking Him? Okay, let me put it in term. Let's say you're a wife. I know some of you guys think, I'm not a wife. Okay, that's just deal with me. Your husband, you've been married. So you got married and you told your husband, "I love you." Okay? You haven't said one time again that "I love you" for rest of your life. Is that a good thing? Ladies, put yourself in their shoes. Would you like to hear from your husband that he loves you? Yes or no? Yes. Guys, be honest. Would you like to hear from your wives that she loves you? Yes. Then shouldn't you say the same thing to your God? You do it in songs during the worship. Be a part of that praise and worship. Praise means looking up. But worship means bowing down. True worship would make you realize the awesomeness of our God and experience the fear of the Lord and deeper love for Him. Too often, Christian praise is nothing more than religious entertainment and never goes to the spiritual enrichment that brings us close to Him. Many contemporary churches, Protestant churches especially big mega churches, make a time of praise and worship much like a Christian music concert, turning off the light and spotlight onto the musicians. And they even have this, like some beams coming out, laser beams coming out, and smoke effect. Let me ask you this. If that is the thing, who is getting the glory? God or the musicians? There is only one God. There is the only one who deserves the glory. I and our worship leader, Pastor Al, are in complete agreement. There is only one person is the audience. When you sing, you are not the audience. Are you with me on that? You are singing to who? God. He is the audience. You are pleasing Him, not you. So let me say another thing. Some people say, oh, that was a good worship because they sang all my songs. My favorite songs. You know, I really don't care whether we sing your favorite song or not. And you may say, I don't like country song. Let me remind you, Jesus coming down, He's coming down second time, He's coming down on a white horse. He's a regular cowboy. Get used to the country songs. How do you know God like rap music? How do you know He doesn't like that kind of thing? Or just because your preference is at certain things, that doesn't mean that rest of people should like the way you like, or that God should like the way you like. Some people are into hymns. I get that. Great hymns have great theologies. And some of the chorus music is like, you can go deeper than that. It's too lame. But each song ministers to each people differently. If you observe that song lyrics, you sing out to God, that is your love song to Him. Comprende? Unfortunately, we sometimes substitute perspiration for inspiration and work for worship. Listen, worship is a believing heart's response to the work of the Holy Spirit, not emotional response to the quality of the music. I know some people say, well, I cannot carry a tune in the bucket. If you're a white guy, that's okay. You can do the honky rap. Just blow out the song lyrics. You don't have to carry a tune. God gets it. If He wants you to sing beautifully, you would have a singing voice like a Pascal. Don't worry about your singing. Just sing to the Lord in your way. As I mentioned earlier, worship requires our obedience to the Lord. We should not rebel against what the Lord says in His word. In other words, the worship does not stop here. At the end of the worship service, worship continue in your life. Instead of just saying, yeah, I love you, Lord, and then do whatever you want to do, we should be obedient to Him, and including the singing out, what a concept, singing out to the Lord in thanksgiving. Go to Deuteronomy, keep your finger in Psalms, go to Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the from the beginning, chapter 10, please. You didn't know that you were going to get picked on, right? If you feel picked on, and if you feel like I'm stepping on your toes, too bad. Deal with it. Verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear, underline that, the Lord your God, to walk, underline that, in all his ways, and to love him, underline love, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, verse 13, and to what? Keep the commandment of the Lord and his statute, which I command you today for your good. Did you notice there's a five imperative words? Fear, walk, love, serve, and keep. We cannot ignore any one of these and think that we are doing everything right in following God. Number one, the fear of the Lord comes from our reverence to his majesty and presence, not fear of the destruction by him. In other words, you're saying, whoa. Not, ah! Second, the whole scripture tells us the life of faith is compared to walk with the Lord. So you often hear, how is your walk with the Lord? Is it right or wrong? Third word, the central element of this five imperative word is love for the Lord. How is it possible to have a fear of the Lord and love the Lord at the same time? It's not contradicting. When you love someone very much, you don't want to cause a problem to that person. So if you love your wife or your husband, you keep yourself away from defiling your bed. In other words, you don't hop in the bed with someone else. Am I making self clear? You cannot say, I love my husband, but I'm going to sleep with some dude from internet I met. Or I'm going to be out of town for a business trip. I love my wife, but I'm going to just do a hanky-panky with someone else. Even the flirting. No. Fourth element. Servanthood of God's people is a natural side product of our effort to please him. When you love your God, you want to serve him and his people. Anyone who does not serve the Lord is the one who robs his own blessing. And you may say, I don't know where to serve in this church. Really? Come see me after the service. I have a boatload of things for you to do. Fifth element. Keeping the commandment of the Lord is not a bunch of do's and don'ts to true followers. If you love your God and you love your people, then you want to do things out of natural reaction. Psalm 96, please. Verse 1. Oh, on the line, next word, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth, and sing to the Lord a bless his name. Proclaim good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among his people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Note that word, please. He is to be feared above all gods. For all gods of people are idle, but the Lord made heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the people. Give to the Lord the glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering. Come into His court. Oh, worship. Note that word, please. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. It shall judge the people righteously. And He shall judge the people righteously. Verse 11. Let the heavens, what? Rejoice. Note that word, please. And let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the wood will rejoice before the Lord, for He is coming. For He is coming to judge the earth, and He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. Many Bible scholars believe that Psalm 96 was used in the dedication of the Second Temple when the Jews returned from the exile in Babylon. This psalmist gives a full command, as we notice, to the God's people, and back up each command with the reason for their obedience, so that they may not face judgment later. First one, we notice, is a sing in verse 1 through 3. This call to worship the Lord is not for the Jews only, but also Gentile nation as well. One day in the future, Jesus will start to reign on the earth, and all nations around the world will come to Jerusalem to worship Him, as it is mentioned in Isaiah 2. Second word we notice is a praise, verse 4 through 6. But verse 5, the word said, all the gods of the people are idols. In America, we have this word idol, American idols, all that stuff. Hollywood idols and musicians, they are idols. It sounds good, but in original Hebrew word, the definition means nothing, nada. Original Hebrew word, the Eliel, and it means worthless. So if you want to call yourself, I'm an idol, good for you, you're nothing. How that for your self-esteem? But that is perfect definition. Idol is nothing. I came from the country where they had a Buddhist temple. When you walk into the Buddhist temple, they have this gigantic fat boy with a cross leg and doing this. And the people pile up money on that guy. What did he ever do for you? He could not hear, he could not see, he could not do anything. Man's hand had to form this idol. Though he cannot do anything, people worship that thing. It's not just South Korea. It's all around the world. People will make an idol for anything and everything so that they can worship something and somebody. Why not worship the one who created the whole entire universe? Isn't he worthy to be worshipped? Only our God is great, and He is worthy to be praised. Third word, worship. Verse 7 and 9. Just as a Jewish priest had to dress the garment required by the Lord in Exodus 28, so God's people must worship Him with a clean heart and clean hands and pure heart. As a natural-born sinner, we've never had either one of them. Christ's righteousness had to be imputed into us through His sacrifice on the cross. We approach God only through Christ's righteousness, but we please Him when we are obedient children. First word we read is rejoice in verse 10 through 12, 13 rather. Someday, The Lord will come down to earth again, not as a babe in the manger, but the ultimate conquering king on a white horse. Every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. The Antichrist who stood on top of the fallen Ten Commandments, and he was joyful, gleeful, that he stepped on God's Ten Commandments. And some of these people in America who tried to ignore God as much as he wanted. Stephen Hawking, nuclear physicist, he thought he knew everything, and he denied the existence of God. Now he knows who is in charge. Only too late. We who are born again Christians will come down with him, and we will rejoice for his eternal reign. 97 Psalm, please. Verse 1, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad. And cloud and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are foundation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightning lights the world. The earth seethes and trembles. The mountains melt like wax in the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Let all be put to shame who serve carved images, who boast of the idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and is glad. And the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgment, O Lord. For you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers from out of the hands of the wicked. The light is sown for the righteousness, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous. Give thanks to the remembrance of his holy name. This psalm describes God's sovereignty over everything, the spiritual as well as the physical realm. No matter what the circumstance around us and the feeling within us, the Lord reigns. Psalms begin with the darkness in verse 1, but it ends with the light in verse 11. Let me ask you this. I don't know where you are. Are you in doubt because of your health? Are you in worry because of your job loss or financial meltdown? Are you in utter dismay because of your marriage that is falling apart? Are you in despair because of the things that are happening in your life beyond your control? Guess what? God is in control over all those things. He is in absolute control. Because he loves you, he will take care of your situation according to his plan and according to his time. Guess who is in hurry? Us. Hurry up, God. Hurry up and do it my way. If he doesn't do it our way, we get ticked. Right? Don't tell me that you don't get ticked if he doesn't give you the way you want it. Then someone would ask you, why doesn't God let us know in advance? Wouldn't you like to know what he's trying to do? I think the reason why he doesn't let us know is because he doesn't want the suggestions from us. If you're like me, God's will is way above our head. We don't get it. Our Heavenly Father's plan unfolds a part of our awareness. Listen up, guys. Ours is a walk of faith, not by sight. Trust, not touch. Leaning long and hard, not running away. No one knows ahead of time what the Father's plan includes. It's best that way. It may be treasured blessing, or it could be test that drops us to our knees. Is that a good thing? According to the Bible, yes, it is. It matures us. While we are on our knees, we get to know His heart. We know our God knows ahead of time, because time is not does not limit Him. Listen. God is not obligated to us to explain what He's doing. But we are obligated to honor Him, follow Him, and obey Him. You don't like it. I don't like it. If we are honest, but that's what He wants us to do. And that's what we should do. If you are going to be a mature Christian, you need to do what the Lord tells us to do. I told you that I have a grandson who just graduated from the terrible 2 to 3. I don't think there's a whole, he just extended the terrible to the 3. He wants to do whatever he wants to do. When he gets corrected, what does he do? He cries. He throws a temper tantrum. I can see why the animal eats young. If you want to remain as a terrible 2 Christian, insist your way. Guess what the Lord's going to do? It's not going to be pretty sight for you. But if you are a mature Christian, you simply say, your will be done. No human vocabulary can articulate the depth of the riches, both wisdom and knowledge of our God with the precision. We just simply don't have a capacity to comprehend God and His way. So please listen to me, my brothers and sisters. Understanding God is impossible, but worshiping Him is imperative. We need to praise the Lord, not because we feel good, rather because He is good. Worship is turning our whole attention to the one who is supremely worthy of our attention. As you know, I love the A.W. Tozer's writing, because this guy can just slice the word into just perfect shape, and he put it into the place. He said this about worship: I can safely say, on the authority of all that is revealed in the Word of God, that any man or woman on this earth who is bored and turned off by the worship is not ready for heaven. Ouch, right? Consider this when it comes to worship. 3 things. Number 1, draw near, listen well, because God is communicating to you. 2nd point, sing the love of your heart to the Lord, because He hears inaudible and He sees in the invisible. 3rd point, when you make a commitment to the Lord, keep it. He's worse than elephant. He doesn't forget. Worship team is coming up, please. At the beginning of this study, I told you I picked on you. For those who keeping their mouths closed, not singing, why? I ask that question. Sing to the Lord from your heart. And when it's time to clapping the hands, you know, there are only few people clapping the hands. And they say, well, I'm not good at with the beat. Who cares? Remember you singing to how many audience?
One.
Uno.
Amen.
Sing to him. Sing to him. Sing love song to him. Amen?
Amen.
God is watching you. I'm watching you. Let's stand up and pray.